What's happening, everybody? On today's show, recapping three spring games from over the weekend in the SEC. We're going to head out to Lexington and catch up with Sean Smith from GoBigBlueCountry.com. He will give us a full recap of what he saw firsthand at Kentucky's spring game. Also, we'll recap some takeaways from Auburn and Texas A&M spring game. Also, give you a couple tidbits from around the conference as well. Locked On SEC starts right now.
You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And what is happening, everybody? Welcome into Locked On SEC. I am Chris Gordy. Great to have you guys along. Thank you for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On SEC is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube and at LockedOnSEC.com. We got to get to recapping so many of these spring games that happened over the weekend. So let's jump right into it. Let's go around the conference.
Boots out to the right.
Around the conference.
And we start things off over at Auburn as they concluded their spring practice with their A-Day game on Saturday. And, of course, a lot of eyes on the quarterback battle over on the Plains. TJ Finley, he got the first team reps, but Robbie Ashford got in there, the Oregon transfer, and he won offensive MVP. Holden Gariner, their freshman coming in, he provided some dramatics late, but the public did get its first look at the Auburn quarterback competition. TJ Finley said of Holden Gariner, as soon as he walked in the building, he said he knew he was going to be special one day. He just kept telling him to press and keep building and keep grinding. We'll get to his stats in just a second. Finley, he led the first team offense on a 13-play, 80-yard touchdown drive during the scrimmage. Connected with Malcolm Johnson for a 20-yard score. Finley was 5 of 7 for 60 yards on that first drive and finished 11 for 19 with 137 yards and a touchdown. But Robbie Ashford, he answered for the second team offense, completing all three of his pass attempts on his first drive for 38 yards and rushing for 11 yards. He went on to earn offensive most valuable player honors, going 12 for 16 for 132 yards. Now, Zach Calzada was out there. He did not partake in the practices, still coming back from that injury, but he is the guy to keep an eye on. A lot of folks think that he can win this job. Robbie Ashford, man, he certainly put his name into the mix as TJ Finley appears to still be the favorite as of now. But once Calzada gets in there, let's see if he takes the job from those guys. Now, Holden Gariner, he led the Tigers on a 15-play, 80-yard, fourth-quarter touchdown drive, going 9 for 11 for 71 yards, including a 19-yard go-ahead touchdown pass to Landon King with 24 seconds remaining. So, look, the Auburn quarterback battle is probably one of the most fun storylines of the spring. This will continue to play out. We'll get some thoughts from some of the guys who watched the spring game a little bit more closely in depth later this week. So keep an eye out for that. But other notes from the game, Cam Riley, he earned defensive MVP recognition, making five tackles and a sack. Fellow junior linebacker Wesley Steiner made a game-high six tackles. We saw some design quarterback rollouts as well. You know, another wrinkle that we saw last year, but with Eric Keesaw running the show now, looks like that's going to be a part of the offense still. Tank Bigsby, five carries for 12 yards, but I do think we're going to see more passes to Tank Bigsby this year. He caught just 21 passes a year ago out of the backfield. I think Tank Bigsby will have more than that this year. I say more in the 35 to 40 catch range. Just my thought. But overall, looks like it's been a productive spring for Brian Harsin, and that is a good thing considering the early part of the offseason that he had, and from the staff turnover to players jumping into the portal left and right, all the negative storylines. Ultimately, I keep saying this, either Brian Harsin is going to turn this thing around and Auburn is going to have a good year and he's going to settle in as the head coach there, or he's going to go down with the Titanic. This will be a mess and lose a ton of games, and he'll be out after just 2 years at Auburn. I'm rooting for the guy. I hope he wins. Nobody wants to root for somebody's downfall, but it's all his guys there now. His OC, his DC, his recruits. Let's see what Brian Harsin can do. But again, I think if Zach Calzada gets healthy and takes over and wins that quarterback job, maybe this offense takes everything to an even higher level this coming year. Meanwhile, over at College Station, it was Texas A&M having their spring game, their maroon and white game. Jimbo Fisher and the Aggie football team on a gorgeous day up in College Station. 22,200 fans at Kyle Field. It was very windy, but the white team scored 13 second-half points to win a 30-24 victory over the maroon squad. Good quarterback play all around. Haynes King threw for 130 yards, also had a 21-yard rushing touchdown. Max Johnson threw for 117 yards, two touchdowns, and Connor Wegman, the true freshman coming in, he had 116 yards and a touchdown, but a lot of incompletions in this one. You can chalk it up to the wind being a big factor, but the run game was interesting as well. He had starting running back Devon Achane at a track meet, and LJ Johnson has been nursing a hamstring. So Amari Daniels made the best of his opportunity, leading the way with 16 carries for 128 yards. And one of the big stars of this one, Evan Stewart, one of their five stars in this class, the historic recruiting class that the Aggies are bringing in, he showed off his speed and his hands on a couple of big plays. And so he finished with seven catches for 75 yards. Evan Stewart is a guy who is going to play a lot this year as a true freshman. He was named the spring offensive MVP, made some big plays, and appears to give the Aggies some depth at that wide receiver spot. Now, another guy that is going to be a big part of this team this year, safety Damani Richardson. He had seven tackles. He was named one of the team MVPs of the spring. Anthony Lucas up on the defensive line, he had a couple of sacks in this one. He might be one of those names to keep an eye on come this fall. And then another guy that really won the hearts of the fans on Saturday, Avery Hughes. He recorded a couple of interceptions, a pick six, logged a fumble recovery to go with seven tackles and three pass deflections. He's a sophomore looking to make a name for himself. I just got an idea. You want to keep an eye on number 41 for Texas A&M. Walk-on defensive back who is going to find a way to get on the field despite all the highly touted recruits the Aggies already have in that secondary. And lastly, over at Kentucky, their blue team topped the white team 32-0 in their spring game at Kroger Field on Saturday. Switching from Liam Cohen to Rich Scangarello running the offense. The Cats racked up 416 yards of total offense on 71 plays. Will Levis very accurate. We'll talk more on Kentucky coming up in just a bit with Sean Smith. Some other notes around the conference. Georgia recruiting at a high level, but they are losing a couple of five-star recruits, according to Matt Zenitz of On3 Sports. Five-star center Clay Webb and five-star tackle Amarius Mims have entered the transfer portal. Webb was the number 26 overall player in 2019. Mims was the number eight overall player in the class of 2021. Over at LSU, Brian Kelly said he's done his research on the number 7 and number 18. Very sentimental to LSU and usually giving those numbers to leaders of their teams. He said he understands the history it holds, but he's going to leave it up to the team to decide what they do with those jerseys moving forward. He said, I'll honor the team's wishes as to what they decide on who gets to wear those jerseys. Now, Brian Kelly did reveal over the weekend that transfer cornerback Jarek Bernard Converse is dealing with a fracture in his foot. He will be sidelined for the rest of the spring. He's a super senior coming over for one more year from Oklahoma State. Meanwhile, LSU defensive back Pig Cage, he recently entered the transfer portal. He announced over the weekend he will be going to UTSA. Over at Florida, Billy Napier said one of the things that his team is dealing with that they have had to work through this spring so far, he said, just too many undisciplined penalties. He said that has been our big main takeaway so far. He said last week we played 120 plays and we had two penalties. This week the penalties were way up there, too many for my liking. Couple more notes on Sunday. According to Matt Zenitz of On3 Sports, Tennessee Vols forward Brandon Huntley Hatfield has entered the transfer portal. He's a former five-star forward. We'll explore his options. Appeared in 35 games for the Vols this past season. And in SEC baseball news, Tennessee, yet another sweep. They swept Missouri over the weekend to become the first team in SEC history to open conference play with a 12-0 record. Tennessee has won 23 straight games. That is one shy of the SEC record set by Texas A&M in 2015. Their 12 SEC wins match the total in Coach Tony Vitello's first season in 2018. Some other notes, right fielder Josh Pearson for LSU. He homered twice on Sunday, collected five RBIs as LSU swept Mississippi State at Duty Noble Field. It's an impressive job there for Coach Jay Johnson and his crew. Meanwhile, the 17th-ranked Georgia Bulldogs claimed an SEC Road Series victory over South Carolina on Sunday with a 13-9 win. Auburn junior right-hander Joseph Gonzalez turned in a complete game as number 25 Auburn defeated number 12 Vanderbilt 8-2 to clinch Auburn's third straight SEC series after a win at Plainsman Park. It marks the first time Auburn has won three straight SEC series since 2017. Sonny DeShera led the way going 3-for-5 with two homers on Sunday. Florida, they used a 13-hit effort backed by a combined seven RBIs from Wyatt Langford and his teammate Bete Riopelli, and they win a series over number two Arkansas with a 9-7 win at Florida Ballpark on Saturday afternoon. With the top five series win, the Gators brought an end to Arkansas's conference leading streak of 13 straight SEC series victories dating back to May of 2019. So that comes to an end. The Gators are 26-7 in their last 33 regular season home games. And Texas A&M, they win big over Kentucky on Saturday, 17-3 in their rubber match. It was the most runs scored by the Aggies in an SEC game since March of 2019. Micah Dallas earned his first SEC win. And there you have it. That is the latest around the conference. Coming up next, we're going to recap Kentucky's spring game and get some key takeaways from that, talking with Sean Smith of GoBigBlueCountry.com. Always good to remind you guys about our friends over at Built Bar. It is that time of year where a lot of you guys are starting to think about the summer and beach trips, and you need to start thinking about getting yourself a little bit more into shape, and that means giving up on a lot of the junk food out there and sticking with our friends over at Built Bars. Yes, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate, but they are low in calorie, high in protein. You can replace those candy bars and all that junk food with a Built Bar. Go to Built.com. You can see all their macros charts there. You'll be blown away. High protein, low calorie, high fiber, low carb. A lot of the Built Bars contain only 130 calories, 4 grams sugar, 4 grams net carbs, 17 grams of protein packed in there. And the flavors are endless, from mint brownie to coconut, coconut almond. They always have new flavors up on their website, so you definitely want to be checking them occasionally to see what they've got at Built.com. Make sure you use our promo code LOCKED15. That's going to get you 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off at Built.com. Going along here, Locked On SEC, and recapping the weekend that was with a couple of spring games getting underway. Missouri, they did theirs a couple weeks ago, but we had Kentucky, we had Auburn, we had Texas A&M all getting underway this past weekend, and so I figured let's head on up to Lexington, Kentucky, and get the Kentucky perspective, and joining us now is Sean Smith, who is the founder of GoBigBlueCountry.com. He was out there. Sean, welcome in, man. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Let's start here, Sean, because yesterday morning I'm looking at the pictures out at the stadium at Kroger Field, and, man, there was snow. It looked like a winter storm. First off, that's weird enough a week into April, but what was going on there in Lexington, and was there some concern, man, are we going to have a spring game in snow?
Well, you know, I looked at it, and I know they had a lot of recruits on campus, and they couldn't move the game, obviously, for TV purposes, and I'm walking in, we've always joked, I've been on the beat now for 5 years, and I said, you know, wonder what it would like to be able to cover a game in the snow in Lexington. We always assumed it would be maybe one of those late November games, but walking out there in April, I remember the last spring game that I covered at UK prior to the pandemic. You didn't get to have it the last 2 years, but it was about 77, 78 degrees on the same weekend. And then this one, it's in the 30s as I'm walking in and spitting snow. But as quickly as it snowed, about 30, 40 minutes later, the sun comes out, it melts, and you couldn't even tell that it snowed. Ended up having a really solid spring game and got to see Kentucky in this new offense and what they're going to do this year.
Well, let's start there because that's one of the big topics of the offseason. Of course, Liam Cohen jumping back into the NFL ranks, heading back to the Los Angeles Rams. It's kind of funny that, you know, he leaves them 1 year, they win the Super Bowl, now he goes back to join them. So hopefully they get him a some kind of ring or something for being a part of the process throughout the way. But he goes back to the NFL and insert Rich Scangarello from the San Francisco 49ers. And I know some Kentucky fans have been saying, look, we've been trying to watch 49ers film just to get an idea of what this offense is going to look like. I know it was just a spring game. I know a lot of guys were limited, but what did you make of the initial first glimpse into what this new offense will look like?
I really like it, and I think the players do too. We talked to Will Levis after the game, and he was telling us that was maybe 25 to 30% of what they're going to run, that they still have a lot of stuff in their back pocket that's fun, and he was talking about how exciting that is. But I think you saw a lot of the same things that Cohen had established, but then you see the fullback. And that's the thing that stood out to me. You see the fullback back there in the backfield, something that you hadn't seen in a while. I mean, you're talking going back a long time in college football, especially at Kentucky, and seeing that. You see some, there'll be some 12 personnel, some different things with tight ends that they're going to do when they get into the season. That's going to be a strong position for them. But overall, I thought the offense looked really good. You've got capable wide receivers. You saw the success that Liam Cohen had starting to pay off. You get a guy like Tavian Robinson from Virginia Tech. The only reason you get that guy is because of what Wandale Robinson did in that spot a year ago. So you're seeing what Cohen did kind of branch over to this new era at Kentucky. You see Will Levis. I thought he was really impressive. But overall, what you take is it's the spring game. Nothing's as good as it seems, and then really nothing's as bad as it seems either. But I think Kentucky did a lot of good.
Yeah, it's funny. We always want to overreact to what we see out there in a spring game. Let's talk a little bit about, you talk about utilizing the fullback, and we know that was a component in San Francisco the last few years where they've been able to make a couple of deep playoff runs. It's that dominant run game. What did you see out of the run game? Obviously, two really big pieces back, Chris Rodriguez. I know he didn't do much because, frankly, you don't need him to. You know what you have in him. But you also know what you have in Kavassier Smoke, and he's back. What did you make of the spring, the run game, at least, yesterday?
It's a very deep position for Kentucky. You've got guys there where there's competition. You know what it is at the top with Rodriguez, but behind him you've got Jatom McClain. You've got Mike Drennan, a guy that was a decorated recruit when he came out of high school. Then you've got, as you mentioned, Kavassier Smoke. Like, there's a lot of talent in that backfield. You're seeing guys that can catch the ball in the backfield. You're seeing guys that can pound it and run it up the middle, and that outside zone scheme that they do. And, I mean, it's just really impressive, the stable of running backs that they put together there. But Rodriguez certainly leads the way. You saw him catch a touchdown there on the first drive, the first scoring drive. You see him catch another ball. I think he carried a couple of times. But behind him, Jatom McClain's the guy that I think everybody should pay attention to this year. If he hadn't had some of the issues there last year, I know he didn't get to play until I think it was about six or seven games in. That was the guy that was kind of primed to break out a year ago. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be right there pushing behind Rodriguez this year.
It's an interesting spot because we know how good Kentucky can be when they are running the ball well. What did you make of the offensive line? Because I think there's some concerns and questions there with some new faces trying to fill in for some veterans that have moved on. Of course, Darian Kennard, one of the biggest names that's moving on.
Yeah, and you didn't get to see Eli Cox at center. He was at his brother's wedding yesterday, so they went with Quentin Wilson running with the ones and the twos at that spot. But obviously the concern would be on the outside. You know, you're losing both starting tackles, but the interiors were the depth of that. That's where they're really strong. Kenneth Orsi coming back. You've got a young Jagger Burton there, a former four-star recruit. They have talent on the outside. You got Jeremy Flags. You got DeAndre Buford. You've got pieces there, and it seems like that the staff is confident that a rotation will at some point develop, especially as they get into the fall. It wouldn't shock me here in the coming weeks, next month or so, if they get a guy like a transfer in to kind of bulk up that position, especially at tackle, to feel a little bit better about it. But I think that group is going to surprise some people and be solid. I think you're going to see Kentucky get back to that 7-8, trying to get eight linemen in a game and kind of work in that rotation. Last year, it wasn't as much as what it was under John Schlarman. in those previous years. He did a really good job adding depth, and I think that's what they're wanting to get back to.
Yeah, and then Dare Rosenthal was one of those big pieces a year ago that really helped as well in solidifying some of the veterans on that O-line. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the offense with you in just a second, but we'll put a pause right there talking with Sean Smith more in just a second. But need to remind you guys about our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including the basketball playoffs that are about to start up, the start of the Major League Baseball season, which just started. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. They've also got some stuff on futures when we start to talk about next college football season. Who are some of the favorites? Is it Georgia? Is it Alabama? Who do you want to get in on? Some Heisman odds as well. BetOnline has got you covered. Head on over to their website today. You can do so on your mobile device. Learn more about all the trends and action. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. You definitely want to go check them out. They have everything you need before going in, placing some wagers. BetOnline.net. Continue our conversation here as we recap the Kentucky Blue and White spring game. And Sean Smith from GoBigBlueCountry.com is joining us. And you can follow Sean at GBB Country on Twitter. And Sean, just let our listeners know what you guys have up on the website, because I know you've got a lot of stuff. Basketball news is still, you know, recruiting never ends there with John Calipari, but a lot of football stuff as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm the only writer that posts to the site. It's been that way for 5 years. I've covered the football beat, the basketball beat. I cover recruiting on both sides. So you can find all that information at GoBigBlueCountry.com, whether you're wanting Kentucky basketball, especially this time of year with their roster and the attrition that happens there. But you got a lot of following with the Kentucky football program, too, especially the success that they've had the last 5 years, whether it be recruiting or what happened in that blue-white game yesterday. You can find all that at GoBigBlueCountry.com.
Let's get back into some takeaways from the spring game, Sean, and particularly, look, Will Levis. I know post-game that, you know, when Mark Stoops talked, one of the things he singled out was, yeah, Will Levis and having him back and the accuracy and all that. But, I mean, it's a given at some other schools. Look, Alabama, they get Bryce Young back, no big deal. But getting a Will Levis back, I mean, unless you're a Kentucky fan, you don't know the struggles that you really had to go through at that quarterback spot for a couple of years. You finally got consistent, really good play last year from Will Levis. What does it mean to have him back? And I know he was very accurate in the spring game over the weekend.
I've been saying it ever since the season ended when he announced he's coming back. This is the first time since Mark Stoops has been in Lexington where you feel really good about the quarterback spot. Now, you felt okay. Like they got success out of Steven Johnson. They had success with Terry Wilson. But when you're talking a guy that can make a difference with his arm, with his legs, and his talent, and then a guy that could play his way into a high-round draft pick if he has a good year, I think that building around that, you lost Liam Cohen, but you got the key piece to your offense coming back in a signal caller like Levis. And his decision-making, he looked comfortable in the pocket yesterday. To me, he looked exactly how you want him to look in the spring. Mark Stoops, and we all joked about him diving for the pylon in a blue-white game. Like, that's just who Will Levis is. I'm actually sitting here looking at a picture that I took of him at the Louisville game last year, him hurdling a Louisville defender, and he signed it for me about a month ago. And that's just who Will is. Like, he gives up his body, whether it's the regular season or the spring, but just a great player and a great leader that I think you're going to see his personality kind of bleed throughout this program and this offense this year under Rich Scangarello.
We don't want to wish the worst, but what if the worst does happen and Will Levis goes down with an injury for an extended period of time? What is the backup quarterback spot? What does it look like? Right. I know Bo Allen has been there for a little bit, but Deuce Hogan, what does that backup spot look like right now?
Well, and you know, that's a topic that you have to talk about, especially at Kentucky. We've seen that multiple times now. That's how Steven Johnson got his way with Drew Barker getting hurt. And then you had Lynn Bowden taken over at quarterback a few years ago. So Kentucky fans are always watching who's the second string, who's the third string, because you want to be prepared. I think it would be Bo Allen, a guy that's been in this program now for multiple years. I think an in-state kid, I think that he would get a good look at it. And I thought he looked good at times yesterday, like where Will was really good with the deep ball and the run game. I thought Bo was really accurate in those intermediate throws, an area where Levis showed that he is improving, but Bo is really good there, and I think he would be the guy. Deuce Hogan obviously did some things yesterday coming over via the transfer portal, so that they've got some depth there for sure. The position is much better now than it was when Stoops got to Lexington and then over the last 3 to 4 years too.
I wanted to touch a little bit on the receiver spot. I know you mentioned Tavion Robinson coming over from Virginia Tech, and you know everybody became such a fan of Wandale Robinson last year. You know, he's a one-and-done. You're used to one-and-doners at Kentucky, but he became such a fan favorite so quickly because of how good he was. I know Rashawn Lewis made some good catches, but one of the names that somebody told me, you know, just keep an eye on, and it's not really under the radar because he was a big-time recruit, but Dane Key, what did you see out of Dane Key and some of these other receivers in the spring game?
He was very impressive for a guy that should be playing spring sports right now in high school if he chose that, and he's out there making plays with the ones in the blue-white game, catching the ball from Levis, touchdown catch there across the middle. I think he looks the part. He's got great speed and a weapon there that you know covers a lot of ground and can make a lot of plays. I think you'll see him. Obviously, Mark Stoops talked about it yesterday. A true freshman, you're going to see him with some ups and some downs, a normal freshman season. But he was talking about his consistency, how his consistent highs are so much more consistent than some other guys that he's seen for his age. I think that bodes well for him and for this offense. And you mentioned Tavion Robinson. I think he's going to be a guy that you're going to look up. And I'm not saying he's going to do the same things that Wandale Robinson did, but I think he's got some wiggle to him. He's going to have the ability to make some plays with his legs when he gets out there in space and keep some drives alive for Will Levis. That's going to be a really big target for him. Isaiah Cummings coming back. I mean, you've got options in this passing game where I think Will Levis is going to have plenty of guys to throw to. Dekel Crowdis, another highly rated guy that didn't play last year due to an injury. We know he can take the top off of it. There are plenty of weapons for Will Levis. They just got to figure out those tackles and have giving time to throw.
Let's flip to the other side of the ball because what has become a hallmark in the Mark Stoops era is Kentucky's always going to have a hard-nosed defense that's going to play their butts off and guys that play till the whistle. And they got a lot of big names coming back when we talk about DeAndre Square and J.J. Weaver and all these different pieces, but also some new faces, some new names that maybe fans may not recognize or may not jump off the page to you. But what do you make of how the defense looked in the spring game?
The biggest takeaway yesterday on that side of the ball was Jordan Lovett, an in-state kid from North Hardin, a really, really good, talented player. I know Yusuf Corker was at that free safety position the last 3 years, and he would move down the box and make some plays in the running game. And you saw some of those same tendencies and abilities from Lovett yesterday. And another guy that Mark Stoops talked a lot about in the press conference after the game just said he just needs to be more consistent. He's another young guy that he has to turn it up a notch and realize that every time he goes out there, he's got to take advantage of his opportunity, and he certainly did yesterday. I think that's a good guy to be excited about. Obviously got your veterans, Jaquez Jones, DeAndre Square, Jordan Wright. I know he didn't play. Octavius Oxendine coming back from an injury on that defensive line. Like, there's a lot of talent on that side of the ball as well, and I think that you're seeing that with all the talent on that side of the ball, all the talent on the offensive side, the guys coming back, the young pieces coming in, the way that they're recruiting. I mean, this is a program that's it's continuing to trend upward, and I just don't see it going down.
It is always a good defense there in Lexington, and figures to be another really good one as well. And I like how the schedule sets up for this team. And who knows? I mean, last year they were knocking on the door undefeated later than I think a lot of people had them. And who knows? Maybe they could take that next step this year. They got the hardest part figured out. They got the quarterback. And as we know in the SEC, if you don't have great quarterback play, you're not going to win many games in this league. So they got the hardest part figured out. Let's see what they can do taking the next step forward. Sean Smith, GoBigBlueCountry.com is the website. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter, at GBBCountry on Twitter. What other stuff do you have that's going to be up on the website over these next couple weeks?
Definitely going to be talking a lot about Kentucky's basketball roster in the coming weeks with the transfer portal and NBA stay or go decisions. Like, the dominoes are just now starting to fall. So that's going to be a lot of the talk in April and into May. It always is around here, but then we'll be just a couple of months now from SEC Football Media Day. So I'll be looking for that as well when we get into July, and then the football recruiting in June and July as well.
Well, one quick basketball question before I let you go, Sean. Is this, I mean, with the landscape that's changed with the transfer portal and all this, I mean, it seemed like Cal had a lock on just, you know, go out, get the top recruits. We're going to be right there with the best talent in the conference and in the country. Is this changing the landscape of college basketball with the transfer portal, where the Arkansas and the Auburns can pick up those big-time transfers to go with the recruits? And, I mean, does Cal have to change his philosophy? And, I mean, is this almost as the writing on the wall. Like, how much longer do I want to do this if I'm Calipari?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely changing. And that's something that John Calipari has been praised for his entire career. He was always the guy that was adapting and doing new things and usually doing them before anyone else was, whether it was the one and done or, platooning at Kentucky for the one season, starting the gold standard of college basketball, the succeed and proceed. He's always been that guy that's been really good at adapting and changing. And I think he needs to look at himself this offseason. I think he needs to adapt in a way and kind of maybe change his, not necessarily his entire offensive philosophy, but I think you got to go away from the four man that can't stretch the floor and shoot the ball. That's the position that I'm looking at this year with them, that I want to see them do something different there. But when it comes to building your roster, I honestly felt like that this roster that they had was the perfect way to do it, as long as you're getting the elite of the elites from high school. And they've got that coming in. They got 2 5-star guys. If Shaedon Sharpe stays, they got another one. You got to be able to have the elite of the elites, and then I think the rest of the roster should be filled out with transfer portal guys. You're seeing so many guys ranked below 20, 25 through 50. Those guys just do not pan out at Kentucky. They always hit the transfer portal. Every now and then you'll have a guy like a Tyler Hero or a Shea Alexander breakthrough and develop into a one and done or something like that. But for the most part, those guys just don't make it at Kentucky. That's where I think the roster needs to be filled with transfers. And then you got to go get top 15, top 20 guys at the top of it. I think that's the perfect blend for a John Calipari roster in 2022.
Gut feeling on Shibwe. Is he going to go through the draft process without an agent? Is that what we're hearing?
Well, the biggest thing with him is his student visa. If they can get that approved to where he can legally make money through NIL, then I think it's a done deal that he comes back to Kentucky, because the amount of money that is on the table if he returns to Lexington, I'm telling you, it's staggering numbers. It's so much more money than being a second-round pick in the NBA draft.
Yeah,
this is a guy that's wanting to help out his family. I think that they're going to get it figured out, and I think that he will be back. That's going to be my prediction now here in early April. I think that Kentucky will get good news on him at some point.
Yeah, I was going to say, better money than you can make going to play in the G League. That is for sure.
Absolutely.
Sean Smith, you do a great job, man. GoBigBlueCountry.com. Really appreciate you joining us, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. Anytime you need me.
All right, that's Sean Smith there. Really appreciate his info and join us to talk all things Kentucky spring game as they had their blue and white spring game over the weekend. And I'm telling you, Kentucky is that team to watch in the East. I like what South Carolina and Shane Beamer have done, Spencer Rattler and all the pieces they've brought in. But don't forget about Kentucky. Will Levis being back is huge for them. That defense can replace some of the veterans they had last year. If the O-line can play well, having Chris Rodriguez back, Kentucky's going to be right there again in the East. Does Georgia slip up at all, losing all the pieces they have? It will be an interesting topic to debate throughout this summer. I'm Chris Gordy. Thank you guys so much for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Now you can go make your second listen. Check out the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. Of course, that's coming up very soon. We'll be talking more on the draft as that gets closer, where it looks like, once again, about half of the first round draft is going to be guys from the SEC. So we'll dive more into that and, of course, dive more into a lot of spring football as more spring games are happening this coming weekend. I'm Chris Gordy. Thank you guys so much for listening to Locked On SEC. Talk to you guys tomorrow.